All right, final half hour. We've got an abbreviated show today for the World Juniors. We've got Canada versus Latvia.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Does it look like I'm sweating a lot? Like, does my right armpit look like it's perspiring at a large rate here?
It's the mic shadow you're getting.
It's the mic.
You're getting sewered by the mic shadow. Yeah. I've been there a bunch of times.
Yeah. Like, I got people tweeting at me. And then, you know, my friend, the O-Dog's jumping on board, Julia Teixeira. Like, I'm getting roasted. And then the Overdrive Twitter account just from the top rope frog splashes me. So,
oh, of course. That means you made it. When you're getting goofed on by our own account.
Yeah.
That means, you know, because that's the grappler is just sitting there goofing on people.
Oh, yeah. He loves it.
Yeah,
he lives for it.
He lives for it. Yeah, no, you're getting greased by a mic.
Yeah.
And the shadow, there's not much you can do.
Yeah, I'm in your spot today, by the way. Oh, there it is.
I've noticed that. Yeah, you're looking very comfortable in that spot.
I hope that's not
foreshadowing.
No, I went to my spot, and the microphone jack is not there anymore, so I had to take your spot.
See, that is familiar, because I think I've been caught with the same issue before, where I got hit with the mic shadow, and people were claiming that I was looking like I was, you know, hungover, basically.
Hungover.
And sweating profusely, and that's never a good look. And I've had that issue before. Like, you get under the bright lights, you start sweating. It is really tough to break that sweat.
It's toasty. Like, when we do TV, we were doing the CHL games, and you get those bright lights, and you're wearing a suit, and I don't know, like, it just, yeah, you can start sweating.
Oh, it's bad.
Yeah.
It's bad, because when the sweat starts, you're in big trouble. Big trouble.
It ain't stopping.
No, it's not stopping. It's not stopping. And only, like, college coaches, I find, are, like, get excused from that. Like, college basketball coaches that are freaking on the sideline and they're sweating through their shirts.
Dude.
Like, it's just accepted that they're lunatics, but they're very passionate and competitive, so they're allowed to sweat like pigs.
The South American soccer coach is just dripping.
Right through everything.
Like he went into a pool.
Yes. But it's accepted, right? Because it's competition. But here we are on TV, sweating like slobs, but
like slobs.
It's not accepted, you know. Anyway, we got a Canada game coming up. We got Canada-Latvia tonight. The pregame's at 5:30. Jason Strudwick. Strutty is going to be doing color analyst work across the country.
Love it.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. And Strutty's out there. He's in the building in Edmonton. I believe we've got Strutty on the line. And this is going to sound crisp, too, man. He's got the headset on. It's popping. Big time on us out there, Strutty. What's it like, you know, having the VIP access at the World Juniors out there?
Oh, I'm ready to rumble. You know, it's a different. The summer edition of this tournament is much different. Obviously, for many reasons, you know, the players that aren't here, a team that's not here in Russia. That's why we see Canada taking on Latvia in about an hour's time. But there's still a good opportunity for these, not just the Canadian players, but all players to kind of build a resume for themselves in these international tournaments and in the big moments. So I'm really interested to see how it plays out.
Me too, man. I mean, we talked about it yesterday. Connor Bedard, for me, has kind of the weight, a lot of pressure on him to build up the excitement for the tournament. You know, as the games go on, Canada wins, they're on TV, they're playing, you get into the elimination round, there's going to be a lot of people captivated by that. But the fact that Bedard is back, he's going into his draft year. Even though he's the youngest guy on the team, I would say he's probably the most well-known or real close to it, Strutty.
Yeah, he'd probably be the biggest name. You know, McTavish, obviously, the captain of the team this year. I think he's another guy that would be recognized. It feels like he's played in so many events for Canada that he actually played in, like, the Canada Cup in 86 or whatever. Like, he's
right.
he's been around for so many. I'm so jealous of his international career. I only was able to one time carry Team Canada to a silver medal single-handedly in the Spangler Cup
at
Christmas.
Yes.
But we don't want to talk about that right now. Let's make this about the kids. But, you know, that's another guy I think that'd be really well known. Johnson, you know, a talented player, obviously. You don't have the big studs on the back end and Gouley and Power that we would have seen here at Christmas. And, I mean, the way those guys played was, you know, Power in the two games. I couldn't believe how he controlled the game. So is there going to be a player like that for Canada? Probably not. Will they be on in the tournament? You know, those things we can find out. But I think it's a really a bit of a wild tournament because they haven't played games. These guys haven't been able to play games. Like we usually see the build-up September, October, November, December. This is, you know, a couple, you know, maybe scrimmages and maybe you're practicing at home, but it's not the same as games. So no one's in their flow. So, you know, is a player more ready than others maybe at some point, whether it's for the Canadian team or another team, but I think also for a team. Can a team sneak one out and get a surprise win that maybe gets them into a playoff situation? So I think we really got to be prepared for the unexpected in this tournament. But the tournament will happen, and again, someone will you know, shine it as they always do.
Strati, it's the middle of August, and you know, it doesn't feel like hockey season, so it doesn't seem like there's going to be large crowds early on in the tournament. But like, if Connor Bedard, if he starts getting cooking, he starts doing stuff that, you know, maybe we haven't seen before, or stuff that we have seen on a very elite level. Like, can we expect the attendance to go up just because of him?
Well, I mean, summer's a challenge, right? I think that, you know, Edmonton specifically is known as a real friendly place for the World Juniors, international events. But I think as the tournament goes on, yes, we will get more attendance here. What will that get to? I'm not sure. You know, I was able to buy some tickets today, and I asked my kids, and they're like, yeah, we're down. So my son and two of his buddies are here, and they're jacked. Like, they can't believe that, you know, they're going to be able to watch, you know, it's a private viewing of Team Canada here early against Latvia. But as you move through, and the stories emerge, right, I think that's what it's about. I think that, you know, when I look back over the different tournaments I've really paid attention to for the World Juniors over Christmas time, there's always a storyline that emerges. You know, a guy who is the extra forward all of a sudden has a big impact, or a young player steps up, or, you know, whatever happens. And that was not just for Canadian teams. So I think we'll see those moments come and people will be interested. But it is the summer, so, you know, how much can it pull people off of the patios, off of their jet skis, or, you know, or the golf courses to get them in here? So I'm interested to see what happens for that. And you know, these players deserve the support, not just the Canadian teams, but all the teams do it, because they've worked hard to get to this point, to put on what we hope would be a really good show.
Well, one way to go viral and get some love and promotion, or certainly attention, the latest craze in sports is have your cell phone pop out while you're playing. And we saw that with the Pirates last night. Rodolfo Castro sliding into third, his iPhone popped out of his pocket. And I'm curious, Strutty, like, when you were playing, were cell phones like a big part of the room? And did you ever hear of any hockey player at any point ever bring his cell phone onto the bench?
Not brought to the bench, but I played with Scotty Gomez. And this guy, we were playing with the Rangers. In between every period, he'd go into the Knicks dressing room, because we had a, like, kind of a linked room with them at MSG. And he'd go over there and he'd answer text messages while mid-game. And I asked him, why do you do that? He's like, it calms me down. So, you know, a couple of years after I retired, you know, he was still playing. And I forget who I was sitting with, just hanging out. And someone's like, tell us a funny story. I'm like, well, this is what Scotty Gomez does. And so we turned on the TV. He was on playing. I think it was as much all at that time. And I sent him a text, and he answered. And I said, here, are you playing? He's like, I am playing. And my buddy was dying laughing, because here's this guy, you know, playing the NHL, answering a text. I mean, it was nothing important. It wasn't like, hey, man, you left your iron on, you know what I mean, or oven on, right? And he was so funny. And so that's – I could never understand it. Like, personally, I was like, okay, when I get there, it's game time. I'll leave the music or the cell phone to the side. But, I mean, these kids coming up are different, right? They're attached. I think part of it is actually it's becoming, you know, fixed to their body, where they can't get rid of it, whether it's an iPad or an iPhone. I know O-Dog, I think he's got something going on there, an old flip phone maybe. But everyone's got their own thing. And now, you know, so we can't – it's hard to judge, right, through the lens of a 47-year-old when someone's 17 or 20 or 25.
Yeah, it's interesting for me. Like, my first year of pro was 2013, and it was pretty, like – it's pretty strict, like, no phones in the dressing room area. Like, you keep it in your locker, your dry stall area. But then what would happen was you'd see guys kind of go to the bathroom, go check a text, go back. And I think now guys are just like, it just kind of sits in their stall, which, I mean, if they're going to check it, just like be able to dial it in, right? Be able to dial it in for a game. Strati, I want to ask you about Shane Wright. Like, if you were Shane Wright, would you want to play in this summer edition of this tournament?
Man, that's a tough one. You know, I'll first start off by, I think where he got drafted, you know, might have been frustrating for him not to go where he probably hoped for most of his life, was first overall. But to land where he did, I think it's a perfect spot. You know, they have another sentiment there. There'll be the two of them. It's a guy there in the general manager that understands, you know, that position really well, and Ron Francis. So I think it's a really good spot. As far as coming here, I would really leave it to each player to make their own decision. I think what you're missing out on is the experience, right? That experience of playing, in these big games. And I think that's what I'd want for my young players. But maybe he feels that, you know, he needs that time to get stronger and get, you know, bigger and faster and all those things. But, you know, it's hard to replicate this experience in any other way.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you're missing out on. So, you know, if I was his dad, I might have said, buddy, this might be the time to go, you know. And yeah, you look at a guy like McTavish, who says the opposite. Like, he had a, you know, he had a fight to get into this with the Ducks, and you kind of want that. You want a gamer, right? And
yeah,
I'm not judging right, you know, today, but I think that, you know, you grow when you're put into tough spots. You know, when you're put in somewhere, you have to stretch and change and be put under pressure, and this is a pressure tournament. You know, we've watched it for 100 years, so I think that's what I, as a GM, I'd like to have my young players going through that. But I also understand if he feels he has a shot of making the team and he needs to be get his body and head right, then go for it. Pardon the pun.
My only thought on that would have been, like, the biggest criticism at the interviews with the draft was, why didn't you go to Europe and play? Like, why did you accept that the season was going to be lost? And here's your kind of layup. Here's your freebie now. Go play in the World Juniors in August. You just had a whole year. You know, you missed a whole year of training. Now you can go play in this tournament. And, you know, like, if you play the long game with these NHL scouts and general managers, right, like, how many times have you heard a general manager say, well, we loved him in his draft year, we loved him that year, right? Like, so they remember these things when you're a young player, and it kind of follows you around.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. And I think what happens is, when you're a young player, you can only see, like, 60 days in front of you, right? It's hard. And, you know, when I remember when I sent down the minors, and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe this guy got called up. Like, Hayes is horrendous. Like, this guy shouldn't be called up. And so you think your life is over, right? Or someone's playing above you in the lineup in the minors, like, what's going on? Like, I'll never get my chance. And you don't really see that, you know, teams aren't just thinking 60 days or even a year. They might be thinking 2-3 years down the line. So long term, would it be better for a young player to be here? Yes, I do believe that. I do in my soul believe that. Now, is there a risk of injury? Sure, there is. But there's also a risk of injury when you're riding your bike home from a throwing session in Boston and you break your wrist, like, you know, that Boston.
Chris Sale.
Chris Sale. Yeah, so, I mean, there's risk everywhere. But I do think I take the longer view, but also I'm on the way on the back end of my career, right? So you can look back with that crystal clear. When you're 18 or 19, all you're thinking about is, like, training. First day of training, I'm going to come in and blow. I'm going to score a hat trick in the first game, right? Like, it's, they're different. So, I don't know. Is it a missed opportunity? Yeah, maybe. But I think that long term, this guy will be, I mean, he'll be fine.
Yeah, he'll be okay. For sure. Right. Yeah. But it's a box that he could have checked that now he won't, where you can't control if you're going to win a Stanley Cup if you never get there, right? You have to rely on your teammates. You have to rely on the team you're with, your coach, your GM, owners, et cetera. The World Juniors, you know, for the great players that look back on their careers, I think they cherish the fact that they were on a team that won gold. You know, and these Canadians still have to go out there and do it. It's no guarantee that they will win gold over the next 2 weeks. But he would have been on this team. He would have probably maybe worn the C or close to it. Maybe not the C, but certainly been a top-line guy. And he's taken that off his resume. Not because he played in it and they lost. He didn't play in it. He didn't give himself a chance to win it.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I go and speak to kids. Yeah, and I go speak to kids all the time, right? About you know, just being a professional and all that stuff. And when I get asked about winning a Stanley Cup, I use that same line all the time. Like, I was screwed by my teammates and owners. I was good. I was good. And these people failed me, right? I mean, I'm a little bit like Kevin Durant, just not quite the same hardware.
It's never your fault.
No, when I'm prepared and you're not, that's too bad. If I would have been playing tennis, there'd be grand slams all littered all across my
could have played any sport, would have been successful.
Anything at all. But unfortunately, you know, I was saddled with these teammates that only could take me so far.
Yeah.
But
except for the Spangler Cup. That's the only one that finally worked for you.
Dragged him on my back.
Yeah. All right. It's all right, Strutty. Listen, we can find that on Wikipedia. We can corroborate those details with Jason Strudwick, who's out at the World Juniors in Edmonton, Canada, Latvia, pregame in about 15 minutes. Speaking of recoveries and trying to get cooking here, how about Max Pacioretty? Blows his Achilles out. He's got surgery. He's out for the next 6 months. How awkward will that be with a new team if he shows up in, let's say, March, and they're on their way to a playoffs team? You know, they're going to be a good team. And here's Pacioretty, who's never been in the room before. who's probably been rehabbing wherever he lives in Vegas, Montreal, I don't know where he is, upstate New York. What's that transition going to be like when he finally gets to Carolina?
Hey, guys, Max, nice to meet everybody.
Right.
And where do I sit on the bus? You know, who wants to be my roommate? Although I guess they don't have roommates anymore. But, you know, it is tough. And I never worried about injuries except in training camp because I felt that you work so hard all offseason to be ready. Then you hit the ground. You just want to get off to a good start. And, you know, and to be fair, Max, a little different position than I was when I played. But you just want to get off to a good start. So even if you get injured in November or whatever, December, you've had some good games under your belt and you can move forward when you come back from the injury. But now you're missing training camp. You're missing so much hockey. And then you're going to try, it's going to literally be like trying to run and catch up to a speeding bullet train. And you're trying to jump onto it, right? Because they're going. These guys are gearing up towards the end of the season, playoffs, and hopefully, you know, 2, 3, 4 rounds, whatever they get to. But the good thing is I don't think there'd be a lot of expectations from his teammates as far as what he's going to do right away. They'll have everyone to be established and say, okay, well, let's find him a spot to kind of work his way back in. And then hopefully he can become the Max that we know in maybe, I don't know, 4 weeks, maybe 4 weeks of time, maybe more, 6 weeks. And it might even take till the next year. So, I mean, this isn't a broken wrist. It's a little more significant injury, especially for a guy that skates like he does. So
it's
a tough one. And then even for the Carolina, you know, they got this cap space now, but you really don't have the cap space. Like it's a pretty unfortunate transaction injury that happened when you think you're so excited about you picking this guy up for, you know, a bag of peanuts. And now you're not going to see him till, you know, winter comes and goes.
No kidding. Yeah, that stings. That stings for Pacioretty. Anyway, Strutty, we'll let you go, man. I know you're prepping for the call tonight. Canada-Latvia out in Edmonton. It's going to be a fun ride, and we're looking forward to hearing it here on TSN Radio. And as always, buddy, we appreciate you finding time for us.
Yeah, tune in. Please critique my performance. Please send me a note, Taser, how I'm looking. Well, I guess you won't see me, but you can put a picture up or something. But
I know you're going to be looking
good.
Just send
me a note. Is this the first time doing color?
No, I've done it before. I did the two games in December.
Okay.
Absolutely huge, huge success. Like people,
nice.
It was trending on Twitter, right?
Yeah.
So I'd expect the same reception today.
Oh, perfect. I expect it to be improved. I mean, you've had a lot of time to work on your game, Strutty. I think this could be really monumental.
Even O-Dog's cats, I heard, are tuning in. So
yes,
I'm pretty excited
on a leash,
about that.
I hope.
leash.
Cats on a leash outside for walks. He's brought them to Edmonton, I think.
No.
With him. Yeah, I think they're walking around the rink right now.
Oh my goodness.
So look out for those cats. Thank you, Strutty.
Talk to you guys later.
All right, there's Jason Strudwick joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. And as we know, you can build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota. And check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory arriving daily. It's Red Tag Days. Visit MapleToyota.com. Pre-game in about 15 minutes. Strutty on the call. How about
Strutty
that, Strutty? Color analyst.
Yeah.
I love it.
You know what, with Pacioretty, too? They could put him on LTIR now and then go out and sign someone and activate him, I don't know, closer to playoffs.
Interesting. What do you have in mind?
I don't know.
Thinking Nazem Kadri, possibly, in Carolina?
That's who I thought was going to go after Kadri the hardest in the first place. I thought it was Carolina because they're that team that's kind of ready to win, mm-hmm. it seemed like, but...
Well, something's going to give. There was a Kevin Weeks tweeting today that expect the Islanders to make some announcements soon.
Yeah, that's probably done.
Maybe that's where Kadri's going. You know, maybe he's going to the Islanders and they're just waiting. I get the impression it's the Islanders, maybe Calgary, although I don't know how the Huberto deal affected that or the idea that Mackenzie Weegar could sign potentially long-term. But... something's going to have to give here with Nazem Kadri. Feels like we talk about it every couple of days. We're like, where is Naz going? We're into the middle of August.
Yeah.
It's been a month.
Well, if he
since
gets
free agency.
If he gets 7x7 with the Islanders, I'm sure he'd be happy. I'm sure he probably wanted 9, right? Like, because you think coming off the cup, coming off a great season, you can get overvalue. But I think that's fine. I think that's right in the ballpark.
That's a lot of term, too, for a 32-year-old, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, that's – and him joining the Islanders – Lamoureux has taken so much heat down there because of the firing of Barry Trotz, which still makes no sense.
He said he needed a fresh voice, except the fresh voice was right next to Barry Trotz.
Right, exactly. A guy who's been in the room for a long time.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's been turnover there. He's made a couple of trades recently that haven't been really spectacular. But if you sign Kadri and your 1-2 punch is Barzal and Kadri up the middle, that's pretty good.
And if you didn't have to spend $9 million, like you didn't have to overspend to get it.
Yeah.
So.
Yep,
that would be a win.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
You see the latest here on Kevin Durant Ian, or I believe it's Ian Beagle of SNY, reporting that Kevin Durant, now his preferred destination is Boston.
Oh, so, it's yeah. not the Sixers anymore.
No, he's narrowing it down to a preferred destination of Boston, but he's intrigued by Philly.
This is nonsense, man.
It's ridiculous. I don't understand how Philly's a possibility. Philly just traded everything to get Durant, like Harden. You know, like what? Embiid is not going anywhere. No one's trading Joel Embiid for Kevin Durant. So who else in Philly? All right, what package could you put together?
But not once have you ever heard any kind of analyst or insider mention the Sixers.
No, and I don't. You know, like they've got a GM down there who's he's creative and he thinks outside the box or whatever. But I don't see Philly. I don't like Boston seems interested.
Yeah.
By all accounts, they put Jaylen Brown in a package on the table. Apparently, Durant wants to play with Marcus Smart. So that alone would freak me out. That this guy's picking other
this
players.
This guy's too much, man.
It's
he's too much.
Much
with like he and now like. Like, I think I said it on Monday, too. Like, he's made it a lot more difficult for Sean Marks to trade him now. Because who's eager to give up high-end prospects or high-end young players to bring in this guy? He's a nut job. He's a complete nut job.
Well, and the fact that the Jaylen Brown rumor got out, this leads me to believe it was Durant's camp that probably leaked it. And now he's pissed off that Sean Marks and the Nets didn't accept it. And that's where he wants to go. And now he's letting everyone know it's Boston, Boston, Boston to make sure the other teams stay out. Because that's an issue, I think, if you're the Raptors, is yeah. What kind of attitude are you going to get? What kind of mentality are you getting? If you acquired Durant, is he going to come up here and sulk? Is he going to perform for you? Is he going to play? Is he going to feel comfortable?
Man, one thing goes south. Like, if one thing goes south with Nurse or Masai, mm-hmm. it's like there's no coming back from it. It's like, that's it. It's south and that's it. Like, get me somewhere else.
It seems that way. Yeah, it seems that way. And listen, Boston just went to an NBA Finals, and they've got a good young core there with Tatum and Brown and Smart. Yeah.
I don't know
and
why
Robert
you'd
Williams.
Want to mess that up. You've built a nice thing there.
Yeah, it's been worthy of an NBA Finals. Like, I understand that you're craving an NBA championship, and Durant, obviously by himself, if it was a free agent, could help you. But you're changing your team completely, the complete complexion of your team. If you acquire Durant.
That's the thing, too. Like, you're also not, like, you're not guaranteed to win an NBA championship if you bring in Durant. Like,
no.
He's a great player. He's one of the best.
Yep.
But you're not guaranteed anything.
No. I mean, outside of his Golden State years, we know what's happened with KD. You know, it hasn't been successful.
Yeah.
So, anyway, this is the latest. And this is just all, this is, you know, public negotiating.
It's
and
the gift that keeps on giving for
yes,
summer sports
is.
Radio. It's
and
fantastic.
I think it's the Durant camp that is pushing it.
Yeah.
Today's Best Bets brought to you by FanDuel. Bet on all your favorite teams on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. I like the Astros on the run line. You got Verlander on the mound tonight against their state rival in Texas. Yes, it's a bit of juice. 1.5 runs, -142, but Verlander's been so good this year. Houston's been good. I like the Braves to win tonight at Fenway as well. And I will take the over in the Brio strikeouts. I know I continue to lean towards that. I'm pushing the over in strikeouts, but it's basically a pick'em tonight. It's only 4.5. Brios, he might get hit, but I think he'll sprinkle in some strikeouts. I like the over on the strikeout prop. Today's Best Bets brought to you by FanDuel. Make every moment more and get your winnings fast when you download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today. All right, Canada-Latvia is coming up next, right? It's going to be on TSN, of course. It's on TSN radio throughout the country. So the pregame's coming up. The puck drop shortly thereafter. Canada-Latvia, it's going to be a fun one. Frankie, great seeing you, man, as always.
You too.
Thank you for doing this, buddy.
Thank you.
There he is, Frankie Corrado. I'm Brian Hayes. We're out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games tonight. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.